Begin the current daf, Maseches Menachos, daf Nun Aleph. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with a third or fourth interpretation of a Mishnah, which was quoted in the previous daf from Daf Tzadik Vav Med Aleph, related to the halach of our previous Mishnah regarding the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, which said that the kneading of it and the shaping of the bread of the mincha and the baking of it was Deicha Shabbos, overrode the Isurim, the prohibitions of the Melachas that are done on Shabbos. So on that, the Gemara asks, what's the source of that? So now the Gemara continues with a third interpretation. Rava Amr, he says, it says in the Pasuk Al Machabas, that the baking, the frying of this, of the Minchas Chavitei Kohen Gadol was done on this shallow frying pan. Now, Malamit Shetu in the Kli, says Rava, this obviously teaches us that the frying, the baking process of the Mincha of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol requires a Kli Sharis, which even if, unlike what we had said in the previous daf, even if one wants to say that the chatzi isarin, which was the vessel used to consecrate the flour that was used by the Kohen Gadol, even if one wants to say that that wasn't a kli sharis that was anointed, but still the baking has to be in a machavas, which is a kli sharis. So therefore, you run into the following problem: if we would bake the chavitei Kohen Gadol from the previous day, not to violate the malacha of a bishul of eifa and Shabbos. But then, if Sulebelina, then it's going to be invalidated because it was left out overnight. And the halacha is, even by menachas, if it was sanctified in the vessel, it becomes invalidated by being left overnight, as the Gemara says in Me'ilah Daf Tesa Min Aleph. So therefore, because of that reasoning, it has to be baked on Shabbos, or else it's going to be pasul because of lina. So as the Gemara, Tanika Vasei the Rava, we learned in the Braisa like Rava. The Braisa says, it says in the Pasuk, Al Machabas Malamet Shetu Nekli. This teaches that it needs a Kli Shabbos in the baking, and therefore it has to be done on Shabbos, because if you do it Erev Shabbos, it becomes possible because of Lina overnight. Now, the Gemara, once it brought this from this Braisa support to Rava, it continues on these halachas of the Chavitei Kohen Gadol on this topic. So says the Braisa, it says in the Pasuk, Bashemen, that one goes and fries this Chavitei Kohen Gadol on this Machavas pan in oil. Says the Braisa, what's this word in oil? Obviously, if you're frying it, it's frying in oil. It's lahisav l'shem, it's to add on the quantity of oil in the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. Now, says the Braisa, any day come, but I wouldn't know how much oil to add. And that says the Braisa, already done. We'll figure it out and we'll judge it as follows. Nemer kan shemen, it says over here in this pasuk oil. V'nemer lahalim b'minchas nesachim shemen, it says by the nisrei tamid, the libations that come with the carbon tamid, in Shmeis Chavtes, it says that there was a nisarin of flour that was mixed with oil, that was a roiva hahin, which malahal and shleishes lugan li isarin, just to go over there, for the isarin of flour, there's 3 lugan of oil, because a quarter of a hin is 3 lugan, because a hin is 12 lugan. So, and it says over there the terminology oil, Avkan, Shleishas Lugan, Lisarin. Also over here, where it's a sarin of flour, by the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, it's also going to be 3 Lugan of oil. Oy, Klach L'derchzu, or says the Braisa, no, maybe go a different direction and learn it from somewhere else. Nemer Kan Shemen, it says over here, by the Chavitei Kohen Gadol oil. V'nemba B'minchas Nidav Shemen, it says, but when someone donates a flour offering, also over there in Vayikra Beis, it says, V'yitzuk Ola Shemen, that it should pour in that oil. So maybe compare it to there. Malahan loig yachad, just like over there, it's just 1 loig of oil, as the Gemara says later on, of peichasim and aleph, for lemincha b'loig shaman, avkan loig yachad. So maybe also over here, by the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, that's actually only 1 loig of oil. Which the Gemara later on is going to ask, how exactly could you learn out the Chavitei Kohen Gadol from a donated mincha? Over here you said the word bashemen is unnecessary to add on. The shemen over there by the michas d'dava, which is 1 loig, is not an addition. That's the minimum amount of oil. So how would you learn it over there from the additional amount bashemen to learn from there to say it's going to be only 1 loig of oil? But be that as it may, that's what the Braisa says, that okay, we don't know which shemen to compare it to. To that of the nesachim of a carbon, which is of the kvasim, which is 3 lugan per isarin, or that of a minchas nedava, which is only 1 lug per isarin. Says the Braisa, okay, nearly me demi, let's see which one is it more comparable to. Says the Braisa, Dunin, and the Girsa takes out the vase, which is regarding that which is in the other parentheses of Baal Chayva, Dunin tashat mitashat. Let's learn that something that has these 3 elements from that which has the same 3 elements, which are tadr, the tuf is tadr, which is the chavitin is constantly brought every day, half in the morning, half in the evening. And so to the michas nesachim come every single day with the carbon tamid in the morning and in the afternoon. So to decha Shabbos, they both override the halacha of Shabbos. And decha tumah, they both override the problem of tumah. Ve'ein donin, and again, the Gemara says, tashat, mishayin tashat. We're not going to learn out something that is tashat from something that's not tashat, because a donated mincha does not override Shabbos, does not override Tumah, because every karma that doesn't have a set distinct time to be done on this day doesn't override Shabbos and Tumah, and it's also not constant. This is something that's donated. Or says the Brisa, no, maybe do it. Learn it the other way. Don in Yagil, which the Girsa takes out the second Yud, mi Yagil, which is that there's a commonality between the Chavita Kangola and the Minchas Nadava, that they have these three things. Yachid, the Chavitin is a Mincha of a Yachid, it's the Kangola himself bring it. So to someone who donates, he's bringing it himself. They're also brought Beglal Asma, for their own right. They're not coming secondary because of a carbon, as is the Minchas Nesachim. And Levina, they have frankincense. And Ve'in Don and Yagel, Mishayin and Yagel, we're not going to learn out the Minchas Chavite Kohen Gadol, which has Yagel, from the Minchas Nesachim, which doesn't have Yagel. Because it doesn't come by itself. It's not brought by an individual. It's brought from the Tzibur. And also, Minchas Nesachim does not require Levina, as the Gemara says later on, Dafna Testament Alf. So therefore, it's not clear which one to compare it to. So continues the Braisa. He says, since we can't figure it out from logic, from comparison, we can figure it out from the Pasuk in the Yikra. The Pasuk, which it says by the Chavitin, it says, it's Seilus Mincha Tamid. It's a constant flower offering of a Mincha. Now, Harehi Lacha Kamichas Tamidin, as we actually had brought this in the Gemara's second interpretation of Abaya, which was the source for the Halacha, how we know that it was that's Deicha Shabbos, we see that the Pasuk compares the Chavita Kohen Gadol to the Mincha of the Tamid that's brought every single day. Now, Ma Minchas Tamidin Gimelugin Lisarin, just like the Mincha of the Tamid sacrifice, which it comes with its Nesachim, which is that Mincha of the Tamid, it's three Lugin per Isarin, as we mentioned before, but we just didn't know which one to compare it to. Here, the Pasuk itself is equating the Chavitin with the Seilas Mincha Tamid. So, although Tamid really means daily, but it's also comparing it to the Tamid, the carbon Tamid, and its Mincha, that the wording says that too. So, Afzu Gimelugin Lisarin, also over here, what does it mean by Shemen, that by the Chavita Kohen Gadol, it's going to be three log per the Isarin. So the Chavita Kohen Gadol, which is the Isarin, is going to have three logan. Now, Reb Shimon Aimer, he says a different source. He says, Rebekan Shemen. As we said before, it says over here in the Pasuk, Bashemen, which is to increase the amount of oil. Now, v'ribe b'mechas kevasim shemen. So too, by the flower offering that come with the daily lambs, there's also an increase of oil. So, ma lahal n'shleish lugin l'yisorin. Just like over there, it's three lugin per yisorin, which is an increase, because a mechas the double, like we said, which is the minimum, has only one lug. So there's an increase, and how much is the increase? It's three lugin. So, afkan shleish lugin l'yisorin. So also over here, where it says b'shemen, which we know means increase, is going to be an increase of three lugin per yisorin. Oiklach l'derguzur. Says Reb Shimon, no, maybe go a different direction. Riba kan shemen, yes, over here by the Chavita Kohen Gadol, there's an increase of oil. Now, v'riba b'minchas parm ve'el m'shemen, there's also an increase of oil by the nesachim that come with different animal karbanas. Up until now, we were mentioning those of the tamidim, which are kvasim, which are lambs. But there are other animals, that of bulls and of rams, which they also have an increase of oil. They're more than the minimum of one leg. So maybe we should compare it to them. Malahalin shnei lugin lisarin, maybe just like over there, they're only two lug per isarin. Now, because we know in Parashat Shlach, where it talks about the Ben HaBakar, which is the par, it says that there's a Mincha Seilis Shleisha Esreinim, which is mixed with a Shemen of a Chatzia Hin, which is, what's a half of a hin? A hin is 12 log, which is 6 log, which are 2 per Isarin, because there's Shleisha Esreinim. So too, by an aisle, it says, La'ayel Tasa Mincha Seilis Shnei Esreinim Bol B'Shemen Shleisha Sahin. What's a third of a hin? It's 4 lugin. 4 lugin, it comes out to be 2 per Isarin, because there's 2 Israinim. So maybe compare it to there. Just like over there, both for different calculations, but they end up coming out both 2 Lugin per Isarin. Afkan Shnei Lugin Lisarin, maybe also over here then, the increase should be only 2 Lugin per Isarin. And that's the Reb Shimon, Nir Lemidemi. Let's see which one is it comparable to. Dan in Mincha Ba Isarin, let's educate that of a flower offering, which is comes as just an Isarin of flower, which is the Chavitin. Mincha Ba Isarin, from a flower offering, that also comes as an Isarin. The Minchas Kevasim, we're saying how much oil it has, but how much flour does it have? It has an Isarin. And therefore, we're going to learn that an Isarin from Isarin, which is 3 Lugin of oil for that Isarin. And we're not going to learn out this Chaviti Kangoda, which is the Mincha that has Isarin, the flour, from other Menachas, that of the Paranail, which have either 2 or 3 Isarinim. And therefore, we're rather going to learn out the oil from that which has the same flour as it. And therefore, says Reb Shimon, it's going to be 3 Lugin of oil. That's the end of the Braisa. That the Gemara now discusses and elucidates this brisa. Haguva kasha. There seems to be an internal contradiction in the sequence of the brisa. Amrit, first you say in the brisa, you open up by explaining Bashem, and it says in the pasuk the word in oil, meaning fried in the pan in oil, which obviously frying has oil. So he said it's lahisiv l'shemen. That means to say there must be an increase of oil in this chavita kan gadol. V'hadatani, and then you go on, you say, oh, but we're not sure how much to increase. What should we compare it to? Should we compare it to that of the mechas nesachem, or should we compare it to that mechas nedava? So you said, oh, nemer kan shemen, v'nemer b'mechas nedava shemen. Maybe we should compare it, it says here oil, it says by the donated mincha oil. Maybe we should compare it to there, that it's only going to be one like. Now, the question is, you already said shemen, bashemen has to mean an increase. There is the minimum, it's not an increase. Which actually Rashi points out that the Gemara could have asked a more basic question to say that, wait a second, the shemen of nedava is not an increase. It's rather just establishing that there has to be oil, which is the minimum. Here you said bashemen is to increase, and we don't need it to establish that there's oil, as the Gemara is going to explain later on. So that's a simpler way, but that's the same idea that the Gemara is asking, which is, so which one? You said is an increase? So then obviously it's not going to be the same. So the Gemara is asking as a contradiction. That so how can you go ahead and try to learn it from Mechas Adab, which is not an increase? So Amabai, he says as follows. He says, you're right. Man Tana B'Shem Elohisev, who is the Tana that starts off the beginning of the Braisa that says and takes for granted that the terminology in the Pasuk B'Shem in oil is to increase the quantity of the oil? That is Reb Shimon. That's actually Reb Shimon, who, although he's actually only mentioned at the end of the Braisa, but we see that when he's quoted at the end of the Braisa, he says this idea that, oh, Rebekan Shemen. And actually, according to his reasoning, he does end up learning out Medina from logic that it's because of this principle that there's a Rebu of Shemen. And you're right, according to Reb Shimon, he could not have asked, oh, maybe learn it from Michas Nadava, because they're very fundamentally different, like the Gemara was asking. Here we're talking about to increase, by Nadava is only to establish. So then why didn't the Braisa, if it was the beginning, Reb Shimon conclude his statement in the Reisha? It's because Reb Shmuel interrupts in the beginning and he says that who said that you're making the assumption that it's to increase? He doesn't take for granted, and he actually asks as a question, maybe it's not to increase. But Reb Shimon himself is actually, he always explained and understood that it says an increase. Ubedina, and this that the Braisa continues and says, oh, maybe let's learn out from logic in comparison, that we're going to actually not learn out from Mechas Kevasim, but actually learn out from Mechas Nadava, and to say maybe it's only one log of Shemen. Man Kamahadr, who's the one that's saying that response? As we said, because Reb Shimon himself actually ultimately learns out from a different Medina, not from this Medina, not from this logic, it's actually Rabbi Shmuel. And he's the one that says, no, or maybe Oiklach, maybe go the other direction, learn from Mechas Nadava, because according to Bishmal, you actually could ask that and say, maybe learn from Mechas Nadava, because according to him, actually both of them, Shemin over there and Bashemin over here, he holds, actually is just to establish that there's oil, and not for necessarily an increase. And that's why he needed to learn from a Pasig, and not Medina. And therefore, that's the, according to Abai, the understanding of the Braisa is, Reb Shimon, then and then the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and then back again to Rabbi Shimon. You're right, according to Rabbi Shimon, there was never an option to entertain to say that maybe we'll learn out from Mechas Nadava because Bashemin means Lahisim, and that's not Lahisim. Second interpretation, Rav Huna b'Rei d'Yeshua Amar, he says, no, Kula Rabbi Shmuel b'Noi Shabirchem b'Reiki. It's all Rabbi Shmuel. B'achi kama, and this is what the Braisa was saying. Bashemin, Lahisim, Lashemin. Yes, when it says in the Pasuk Bashemin, it means an increase of oil. Why? And because if you would think to say that it's just established that it should be fried in oil like other menachis, you don't need to say that. Once the pasuk already says that you're going to make it in a frying pan, you obviously know it needs oil. Like a regular mincha of a machvas, which is fried in oil. And therefore, obviously, Bashem is saying that there should be an increase in oil. Now, on that, continues Rabbi Shmuel himself, on the assumption that he says, and he says, no, in the and maybe it's not correct what I'm saying. Maybe Hashem is not for an increase. Maybe it's just to establish that it's fried in oil. And could be it's just one leg of oil. Why? Because maybe if it didn't say that you make it in this machavas, and that it's an oil to be fried, maybe Havamin, I would have said that it should actually be like the sinner's flour offering, which actually has no oil. This that it says then machavas, actually maybe that it just means that you should bring it in that pan, but maybe it's not fried in oil. So therefore, it's not clear from Rebbe Shimon. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it doesn't need even any oil. And therefore, maybe what's what Shimon is required just to say that there is oil, which maybe it's only one leg of oil. Then Hadar Amr, then Rabbi Shmuel went and continued, and he says, okay, Tavan Amr likvoy l'shemen, fine. Even if, let's say, like you want to disagree in my assumption that I'm saying that b'shem means l'hisa b'shemen, and maybe it's just coming to say that there should be any oil at all. Still, says Rabbi Shmuel, taste in Medina, you can still learn it out from logic. Why? Because here it says shemen, and there it says shemen. And just like over there, it means three leg here, so here also means three leg. Now, v'dan dina, but as we saw in the Brisa, he tried figuring out from comparison, but v'lay asila, but it wasn't successful because, like the question was asked back, it says, wait a second, maybe go the other direction, learn that from Michas Nadava, could you learn that yoga from Yagel? So therefore, v'atzrakakra, that's where ultimately Rabbi Shmuel required to learn from a pasig, which was Seilas min chatamet, kidim esayim Rabbi Shmuel misal, like he concluded his opinion, but it was all Rabbi Shmuel. And then that comes along Rabbi Shimon at the end of the braisa to say that no, you don't need a pasig, because he understands that b'shemen can only mean l'haisim, and he doesn't have that entertain like Rabbi Shmuel had, that maybe it's only l'kvoy l'shemen, and that's why he says you know it from b'shemen. Rabba Amar, third interpretation. Says Kula, the entire Braisa from the beginning up until where Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is quoted, and he requires the pasuk of Seilas min chatamet, everything up until that was Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon was coming to say that most definitely this b'shemen is coming to increase the quantity of oil, not just to establish that you need oil. Just the thing was, I don't know how much oil to add. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon went and said that, but you don't need a pasuk, like Rabbi Shmuel ends up saying, because you could know it from Medina, from the logic, which ultimately Rabbi Shimon says at the end. Now, but then we had the question, so then what was this whole discussion? Because v'ilulei nemar kamar, what Rabbi Shimon was saying was, and even if we didn't have this, meaning v'hacha kamar, this is what the ratio of the Braisa was saying. Bashemen is l'hesav l'shemen. When it says in the pasuk, in oil is to increase the quantity of oil, and this is all Rabbi Shimon. Because if you would think to say that it's just coming to establish that it should have oil, which would be just a lug of oil like other menachas, then you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell that. Since it says it should be on that frying pan, you obviously know you need oil to fry in it, which is kamachavas, like a regular minchas machavas. Now, this is the point, but where the braisa changes, and it's all Reb Shimon. Because we said, if you really know, how could, if you're saying up until Rabbi Shmuel is all Rabbi Shimon, we asked, then how could you compare it to Mechas Nadava, which is not an increase in oil? And that is what the Rab is explaining, that it's Rabbi Shimon, that he's saying, however, V'ad shalo yama b'shemen, but even if we didn't have the term in the pasuk of b'shemen, which means an increase of oil, yeshli badin, says Rabbi Shimon, I would still even know without the pasuk that you need to have an increase of oil. And he says, because look, I could compare it to the Mechas Nesachim. Where it also says Shemin over there. Oh, but then the Dandina Loyasila, but he tried doing that, but that didn't work out. Because without the pasuk of Shemin, you'd know, you wouldn't know that you need an increase of oil, because you could compare it to Shemin that it says by the Mechas Nadava. And therefore, the Atzoch of Shemin, he ended up coming out that you do need the word in the pasuk by Shemin to say that it means an increase of oil. But then, Hadama, then Rabbi Shimon himself went and continued, as we saw at the end of the Braisa. He says, okay, but even if I know from Rabbi Shimon it means the increase of oil, but Tahavik and Mechas Parm Ve'elim, but maybe I should only compare it to the increase of oil that was by the bulls and the rams, where although there's an increase, but maybe it should only be two Lugan Perisaran. And that's what Hadama, that's what he ultimately answered, and he says, well, this that you're asking, that should be like the Mechas Parm Ve'elim, done, and we learn now to do Ketin Tamad Beis, Mincha Ba'isaran V'chulu, a flower offering that comes just a nisaran of flour from something, a mincha that also comes nisaran of flour, which is the michas kefasim, which is three logan, and often the parma elim, which are different amounts of isranim, and that ultimately is where Rabbi Shimon knows that it's going to be three logan of oil, and everyone agrees to that. The question is, where do you know that from, and how do we understand the order of the bright? So that's what there's three different interpretations of the Gemara. Who is saying the order of the bright? So, And how does that fit with the understanding of, do we know b'shemen means increase? And if we do, then how exactly could you learn from Mechas Nadava? Now the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, which is that of the Chavid Kohen Gadol, and specifically that of if the Kohen Gadol passed away in the afternoon, which he already brought half in the morning, what do you do in the other? So if you appoint another Kohen Gadol, he has to bring a whole new Isaran and split in half and only bring one half. Says the Mishnah, Loimin the Kohen Achatachtam. Let's say they didn't appoint another Kohen Gadol in his place in the afternoon. And now it's time for the afternoon sacrifices, and you have to bring the Chavid Kohen Gadol. So says the Mishnah, Mishel Mihais Akreva, from whom was it brought? Who's paying for it? Who's bringing it? So Rabbi Shimon, he says, Mishel Tzibah, is brought from the public funds. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Mishel Yarshin, from the inheritors, of the Kohen Gadol who passed away. And says the Mishnah, Mishleima Issa Kreva, that as everyone agrees that it has to be brought as a total Isarin, meaning to say now for the next few days till they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, has to be an Isarin in the morning and an Isarin in the evening, as long as it's being brought from that of the Tzibur, meaning although the Kohen Gadol, when he would bring it, would actually be half of Isarin in the morning, half in the evening, but now that it's being brought from the Tzibur, it would be brought a whole Isarin in the morning, whole in the evening. Now, turn about, then the Braisa explains the halacha of our Mishnah. Says the Braisa, Kohen Gadol shemesi b'lo yimin koyin achar tachtav. Kohen Gadol passed away, and they did not appoint a new Kohen to take his place. How do we know, like Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, that it should be brought from his inheritors? That's what the pasuk teaches. It says, and the Bryce is reading it a certain way, this pasuk, to be read as follows. The anointed kohen means the kohen gadol. Tachtav, what's beneath him, mibanav yasa'isa, or tachtav means it takes his place, mibanav yasa'isa, from his sons, they should do it. Which means to say, from his inheritance, it should be sacrificed, up until another Kohen Gadol takes his place. Now, Yachal Yarkav Ben Chatzon, you would think that it should be brought in halves, just like their father would bring it when he was alive. Tamalema Aysa, that's what the Pasuk teaches. It, what's it? Sounds like a singular unit. Kula V'lei Chatzia, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It has to be the holy Sarin and not half. So you bring a Sarin in the morning, a Sarin in the evening. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon, he says, Chak Eilam. In that Pasuk it says, an everlasting statute. But he learns, Eilam also means the world. Mishal Olam, it's brought from the world, meaning from the public, from the Trumas Alishka, from the chamber of all the Shkolim that the whole Jewish people give, which is like his opinion of Mishnah, that's not brought from the Yerushim, rather from the Tzibur. Now in the Pasuk it says, Kol Takhtar, it entirely has to be burned on the Mizbeach, means Shetei Kula Bahaktar, that it should be totally burnt. Now there's two different inferences that could be saying, either the word Kula or Bahaktar, either meaning to say that you should not make any shirayim to eat the rest, or another interpretation means to say that it should be entirely burnt and not in halves, because as long as we said it's being brought from the tzibur, there Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon do not disagree, it has to be totally burnt and not in halves. So either the idea is kula, or the idea is akhtar, but the point is that all of it has to be burnt on the mizbeach. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, v'hai, which we said from Rabbi Yehuda, is that really so that like he brought that, you see that it's the Yarshin that bring it because it's the Kohen Gadol in place of him, it's his sons who bring it? But look at the Tanya, ask the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yehuda use it for that? We learned it that it's teach a different halacha as in the following braisa. Says in the pasuk, Zeh karban Aaron uvanav, this is the karban of Aaron and his sons, Asher yekrivu la'Hashem, which they should bring to Hashem, b'yamim mashachayis, on the day that they become anointed, that they become inaugurated into the service of the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash in the Mishkan. Now, says the Braisa, Yachal yiyu Aaron uvanav makrivin karban echad. You would think from the singular terminology that this is the karban, that Aaron and his sons, that all of them together, when they become anointed, should only bring one karban. That's what the pasuk teaches, Asher yekrivu la'Hashem, that they should bring near to Hashem, which teaches Aaron from the Atzmai, Uban from the Atzman. Aaron himself brings his own carbon, and his sons bring their own carbon. Their own carbon is in this situation when they're in what's called the chinuch, in the inauguration of their avodah. However, from that day onward, when they're already inaugurated, then the kohen hadyotis, the sons, will not be bringing, but the kohen gadol will continue to bring every single day, which is known as the chavit kohen gadol. Now, when it says there in the pasuk banav his sons, who is that referring to? So the Braisa, Elu Kohanim Adyaitis, this refers even to the common Kohanim, which when they're inaugurated to the service, that day they have to bring an Isarin of Silas of flour, which that's what the Kohen Gadol brings every single day. Now, says the Braisa, Ato Emer Kohanim Adyaitis, is that really what the pasuk is saying? When they're mechunach to the Avodah, then they bring the Isarin of flour that day? Ayena Elu Kohanim Gedolim. Or maybe the pasuk is referring to other Kohanim Gedolim, which the pasuk is saying that this carbon, Yakrivu b'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, what do you mean? Not today that they should bring it. It means for future generations. Every time a new Kohen Gadol comes like Aaron, then they have to bring this same Isar and a flower. But maybe Kohen Medyotis, when they become inaugurated, do not have to bring this. And that says the Brais, no, Kishuim, when the pasuk says, Va'koin ha-Mashiach tachta mi-banov, when you have the Kohen Gadol, who, when one of his sons takes his place, so Hare Kohen Gadol Amar, from this pasuk, which this is what's the question on Rabbi Yehuda, you see the pasuk is being used and being read in a whole different way. It's referring to the Kohen Gadol, meaning the Kohen Gadol who will have one of the sons of Aaron that will take his place after he dies, he should also do the same thing. So I already know from that pasuk that future Kohen Gadolim bring the same Isar and a flower. So Haman Mekayim Banav. So then what do I need from this other pasuk that says his sons? Obviously not the future Kohen Gadol that would take the place, because that's the other pasuk. That rather, Elu Kohen Megayitis, that refers to Kohen Megayitis, that when they become inaugurated to the Avodah, they have to bring the same type of flower offering as the Chavita Kohen Gadol on that day. But one thing you see is that the pasuk is being used for something else. How should you learn from that, that it's teaching regarding the Yershin of the Kohen Gadol who passed away, to bring it up until they bring a new Kohen Gadol? And that says the Gemara, because Im Kain, if that would be the case, that the whole pasuk is like what Rabbi Yehuda had said, that only teaching regarding the Yershin, that they should bring the Chavitim as long as they didn't appoint another Kohen Gadol in his place, like we said before, then Lichtiv Kra HaKohen HaMashiach, then the pasuk should have written as follows. The Kohen Gadol, the anointed Kohen, Tachtav, in place of him, Bon of Yaseh, his sons should do it when the father passed away. My mi banav. What is it teaching when it says from his sons, which sounds like one of his sons, which is the one who takes his place as becoming Kohen Gadol? Shemam in Atarti. Obviously, from that pasuk, I actually learned both the idea of the future Kohen Gadol who take the place to bring every single day the Chavita Kohen Gadol, and also that this regular sons on the day when they are inaugurated also bring this Isarin of Silas. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon, Hai Oisa my Ovidle. What does he do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda had brought, which from that pasuk, Vakoyin Mashiach Tachta Mibon of Yasa Oisa, he said that Oisa tells you Kula Vlei Chatzia. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, he knows that it has to be totally, not in halves, burnt on the Mizbeach, from the pasuk, like Rabbi Shimon himself says, Kol Tachter. So he doesn't need Oisa to say that. In other words, the whole pasuk itself of Vakoyin Mashiach, which that Rabbi Yehuda had learned to say it's for the Yarshin, which Rabbi Shimon disagrees, he says it's brought from the Tzibur, that's not difficult what he does with that pasuk, because that's for the other drasha, like we said before, to teach regarding future Kohen Gadolim. But the question is, what does he do with the word Oisa? What is that coming to teach? Doesn't need it to say that it's totally burnt, because that he knows from Kol Tachter. Says the Gemara, Mibayle, he needs it l'Kohen Gadol Shemeis u'minar achatachtav. He needs it for a different halacha. When the Kohen Gadol passed away, and then they appoint another Kohen Gadol in his place that same day, that pasuk is teaching Oisa shelo yavi chatzi yisar mibesai, that he shouldn't bring a half of his son from his house, and neither b'lei chatzi yisar shel rishon, neither is he allowed to bring a half of his son of the first one, because Oisa sounds like it, the entire unit of the yisar has to be brought. You can't bring a half of that. On that is the Gemara. That's what he learns from Oisa. But typically, min umachatzisa. What do you mean? We taught in the previous daf, it says umachatzisa bo'erev, which we said from there, from the extra vav, it teaches out that even in this situation, when the Kohen Gadol takes the place of a previous one that same day, it also has to be a half of a whole. And that's what the extra vav comes to say in that situation. So from there, we know it has to be the whole Isaron and not a half. Why would he be learning from Oisa? Says the Gemara vav lo darish. Rabbi Shimon doesn't learn out vav as an exposition, and if he doesn't learn it from there, and if he learns it from Isa. Now the Gemara goes the other way and asks, Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Chak Oilam my Avalei. What does he do with that pasuk that it says regarding the Chavita Kohen Gadol that it's Chak Oilam, which Rabbi Shimon had used to say Mishal Oilam from the Tzibur? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says it's from the Yarshin. So what does he learn from Chak Oilam? So he learns a different drasha, Chuka La Oilam Tehei, which we said the word Oilam can mean different things. It means that it's an everlasting statute, meaning that this mitzvah should apply for future generations, that every Kohen Gadol should bring the Chavita Kohen Gadol. Moreover, asked the Gemara, Kol Tachter. This that Rabbi Shimon had expounded to say that to tell you that all of it has to be burnt on the Mizbeach as one unit, but Lamali, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what he needs for, because he's not learning out from there, he learns it, as we said before, from Isa. So as the Gemara, Mibayli L'Katanya, he needs those words to teach a different halacha, has learned the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ainli Ela El Yoina. I would only know that which is previously mentioned there in the Pesukim and Parashat Tzav, which it talks about the Chavitin, that Michas Kohen Gadol, the Micha that the Kohen Gadol brings, Bekol Tachter, should be like the Pasuk mentions, that it should be totally burnt on the Mizbeach. V'tachtoina, and that which is mentioned later in the Pesukim, the Michas Kohen Hedyit, that which it says that Kol Michas Kohen Kol Tia, that the Mincha of every Kohen should totally be, which it's talking about when the Kohen brings a mincha as a nadava, it says there in the pasuk b'loy seichel, that it's not allowed to eat from it. Says the Braisa, minayin litnes amar shel zeh bezeh, ves amar shel zeh bezeh. How do I know that both of them, which it says the halacha by each one, applies to the other one too? Meaning that both of them should be totally burnt on the mizbeach, like it says by the Chavita Kohen Gadol. And that whoever eats from the leftovers of them, which it says by the Mechaz Adav of a Kohen Hedyit, that violates a negative prohibition. Tamalema kol kol gzeira shava. because each one, by the Kohen Gadol it says kol takter, by the Kohen Hedge it says kol tiyalei seichel, so they both use the same terminology kol as gzeir shava. Nemekan kol benemel halm kol. Makan bekol takter, just like over here by the Kohen Gadol, it says what totally kol, what totally takter should be burnt on the mizbech. Aflaam bekol takter. So too over there when it says kol, though it doesn't say takter, it's also that the minchas nedav of a kohen has to be totally burnt on mizbech, unlike the mincha of like Yisrael. And also we learn that the other way. Just like by the Kohen Hedge, it's teaching that there's a negative prohibition of one word to eat from it. Also over here, by the Kohen Gadol, is teaching a loisei regarding eating it. And that's what we learn it from Kol Takter. What are we learning out? The Gzeres Shava to the Minchas Nedava of a Kohen to say that it should be totally burned on the Mizbeach, and learn that out, because only by saying Kol do we have the Gzeres Shava to that of a regular Kohen. Now the Gemara asks, Besavar Reb Shimon Mishal Tzibur Deiraisa? Is that really true? Reb Shimon had said his opinion, as he said in the Mishnah, as we elaborate in the Braisa, that so who does this come from when the Kohen Gadol is not alive? He said it comes from the Tzibur. And he says in the Braisa, what's the source? Because he says, Chak Eilam. So that's a biblical source to say that it's brought from the Tzibur. And that is the Gemara. Is that really so that he holds that it brought from the Tzibur? But Vatnan, we learned in Mishnah Masech Tashkol and Perek Moshe Nimtzu, it says, Omer Reb Shimon, who we're discussing, says, Shivat Dvarim Hiskinu Bezin. There were seven things that the Rabbanan, that the courts had instituted. Vezeh Echad Mem, and this is one of them. Meaning that Mishnah is going back to what was mentioned previously, which is spoke about a behemoth that was found between the area of Yerushalayim and Migdal Eder. And also that same distance in every direction. So let's say they find a male animal, it's brought as a Eilah. A female animal, brought as a Shlam. Now, initially, they would take collateral from whoever found that animal, that not only does he have to bring it as a carbon, but he has to bring the nesachim, the libations of that animal. Until people just leave those animals and run away because they don't want to have to pay and shell out all that money for the nesachim. So the court instituted that the nesachim should be brought from the tzibur. That is what this Mishnah is saying over there. Shimon says that there were seven things that the Bezin had instituted, and this is the one that we said regarding finding the animal is one of them that, okay, let it be brought from the tzibur. And then it mentions the other six, where it continues and it says, if let's say a non-Jew sends his carbon oilam from overseas, which a non-Jew could send his carbonus, as the Gemara says later on, Dafayin Gimel Beis, the Pasuk should have just said ish. What does it say when it's saying regarding carbonus ish? Which comes to include even a non-Jew who could make Nedarim and Nedavos like a Jewish person to bring carbonus. Now, let's say Shalachim on Nesachim. Let's say he sends along money to pay for libations. So then Krev Mishalei, then it's brought from his own. But Vimlav, let's say he just sent along the carbon without money for libations. So the Takanas Bezna was Krev Mishal Tzibur, but that's also those Nesachim are brought from the public funds. V'chein Ger Shemes, also regarding a convert who passed away. Now, the reason why he picks a Ger is because there could be a situation when he has no inheritors, because he's like a Katan Shanel Dami, because in contrast to a Jew, there's always someone that's related somehow, who then the Yarshim will bring the Nesachim. But a Ger that dies, V'neich Zavachim, and he leaves over Karbana is... So Yeshli Nesachim Krev Mishalei. If he has libations, then we bring it from his own. Vimla, but if not, that was also the Takanas Bezin, Krev Mishal Tzibur, we bring it from the public funds. Now additionally, but tonight Beznu, another of the stipulation of the court, all along these same ideas, was Kohen Gadol Shemes, B'lei Mina Kohen Achar Tachtav. Like the topic of our Mishnah. Kohen Gadol passed away, and they did not anoint a Kohen Gadol in his place. Shetei Minchas, Krev Mishal Tzibur, that the Mincha should be brought from the Tzibur. Which is his opinion. But one thing we see from that mission is that it's a Tanai Bezdin. It's a stipulation of court, not biblical. How does that work with the previous Braisa that said that it's from the Pasuk of Chak Eilam, which makes it biblical? Samer Bevoi says, not difficult. Shnei Takanas Hava. There were two institutions, as follows. Deraisa Midi Tzibur. Biblically, it's actually supposed to be brought from the Tzibur as the previous Braisa brought from Chak Eilam, which means Mishal Eilam, that from the public. But even the Chazadika Mitcha Kalishka, but once they saw that the chamber, the treasury was being oppressed, meaning to say that they were losing tons of shkalim of the Lishka, because every single year they had to shell out a lot of money. Why? Because the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechta Yomim of Testament Alf, based on the Pasuk Ushneis Risham Tiktzarena, that the years of the wicked are shortened, that refers to the second temple, which there were more than 300 Kanim Gedalim. Because each one didn't live out the year because they were not righteous and they died. So until they got a new Kohen Gadol, who's paying for the Nesachim? Who's paying for the Miches Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol? It was the Tzibur. So Takinu Dilagavi Meyarshim. So they instituted, okay, you all want to become Gedolim, but when you pass away, it's the Yarshim that have to pay for that. Now,
even the chazad the kapashaba, but once they saw that the Yerushim were negligent and they were not bringing it, so kmuah deraisa, then they went, they instituted to go back to the biblical law. That's the two takanas. Where initially they made one takana that should be brought from the Yerushim because it was costing the tzibur too much money. Then when they saw it wasn't working, they went and brought it back to the biblical law initially, but that required another takana, and that's why it's called a takanas bezin, to bring it back, however, to the initial halacha, which is really biblical. So too, continuing from these seven things that were instituted, Val Para, regarding the Para Duma, the red heifer, the Takanas Bezdin was, Shelo Yehei Moyel in Ba'afar, mean to say that whoever benefits from its ashes should not be liable for a carbon me'ila. That here also, the same type of a question, asked the Gemara that Dairaisihi, but it's not a Takanas Bezdin, it's actually biblical law that there's no me'ila, no law of misappropriation on the ash of the Paraduma. The time, like, learn the Braisa. The Pasuk says, regarding the Paraduma in Ba'midbar, it says, Chatashi. It is a sin offering. Malamid Shemoylimba. This teaches, from the fact that it calls it a chatas, that just like other chatois, that there's going to be halacha me'ila until there's not a permissible time for kahanim, which by regular karma chatas is that the meat could be eaten by them. But here, there's nothing that for you until there's a permissibility of a utility for it, meaning up until it's used, then it's going to be considered karma chatas, which will have the halacha me'ila on it. Now, additionally, it says the word he. What does it mean chatas? He? It is a chatas. That's an exclusionary term. Ba myelin, there's only me'ila in the animal itself, but as we continue on top of Nun Bezim and Aleph, ba'afara ain myelin, but in its ashes, there's no me'ila. That's not included in the halacha me'ila. But one thing you see that halacha, that there's no me'ila in the ashes, is biblical. Why do they say it's one of the seven takanas habez? So Ravashi here also says the same idea, shtei takanas habez, actually with two institutions. You're right, deraisa biblically, it's ba myelin, only in the pardum itself is there me'ila, ba'afara ain myelin, the ashes is no me'ila. But once they saw that they started being disgraceful and desecration regarding the ashes of the paraduma, they were using it for their wounds because ashes could have healing properties for a wound. So as not to desecrate these kashim, although there's no me'ila, so they actually decreed rabbinic me'ila, which actually the first sugya in Masechta Me'ilah of Beis Mabez explains what's the difference between rabbinic me'ila and biblical me'ila. So they made rabbinic me'ila. Now, then, even the Chaz, the Kaparshi, Misafik, Azaz, once they saw that they started distancing themselves from situations where maybe doubtfully they actually would require the ashes in the purification, for example, let's say someone who maybe is not sure that it became tummy from a mess, let's say he went over a certain overhang or something that maybe was under the same oil as the mess, they stopped using the ashes because then that's going to be considered me'ila. If it's unnecessary utility, then that's misappropriation. So therefore, and then when they brought it back to the biblical law, they say, no, don't worry, there is no me'ila, so that people that maybe need the purification process, who that's important, should use it. And that's why it's called the Takanas Bezdin, because, yeah, although biblically there's no me'ila, but they first instituted that it should be. But then the second Takana brought it back, same idea as we said before, and that's what it's called a Takanas Bezdin.